Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. Coming up this week, cannabis, Bonag, and Bross. To try and give you a taster of this and some of the other news that has been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by Newshound's Jess Ward.
Hiya.
And Sam Turton.
Good afternoon.
Plus Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hi.
Afternoon, chaps.
Afternoon.
And chapesses. What is the female
chapettes.
Version?
Chapettes.
Isn't that like Spanish?
Like
you know, you got chaps, and then you is it chapettes?
Chapettes
is something you wear, isn't it?
Chapesses, maybe.
Well, we'll go with chapesses.
What was the one in Alvin and the Chipmunks?
Dave.
No, it was the Chipmunks and the Chipettes, wasn't it?
Was it Chipettes? Oh,
yeah. That's chapettes. Why I'm saying Chapettes.
I'm going for Chapettes.
Chapettes is those like leather pants you wear, isn't it? Like
Christina Aguilera went through that phase.
Yes, yes, Chapettes.
They're just called Chaps, aren't they?
I feel like this is a conversation we really shouldn't be having on the podcast.
No, no.
But if anyone knows, do let us know on our social media at IOM News Podcast. That's what it's there for.
Yeah.
So, Jess, good week.
Yeah, it's been a good week. Good solid week, full of news, as always.
Solid 7 out of 10?
I'd give it an 8 out of 10, you know?
Wow.
Whoa, feeling generous.
8. With the last week in February, that is good going.
Yeah.
Definitely. Katie, good week?
It's not an 8 out of 10.
No.
Oh, no.
Well, I don't know. Maybe an 8. No,
I just think...
No, it's not.
I feel like I put you on the spot with this question. 7?
I'm going to go 6.5.
6.5. Oh, nice use of the half decimal. Sam, of course, you've actually come in today. You're on holiday, but you've come in not empty-handed, so to speak, have you? Latest Sam's Impulsive Buy.
No, I think this is going to take some beating, this one, to be honest. It is a new cup for the office, and it is a Prince Charles and Lady Diana Spencer decorative and commemorative wedding cup.
That is lovely. So this their wedding on 29th of July 1981.
Yeah.
Do you think that's original press?
Let's see, made in England, so maybe.
Maybe who knows, it's had a bit of an existence, hasn't it? There's a few chips and smudges.
Are you talking about the marriage of the cup?
Oh! Hashtag satire. Nobody had Prince had to do that talk. Go on.
Yes, I think it's great. I was down in the charity shop down in Port Erin.
Ooh.
It was the hospice charity shop I got this in.
The wife will be happy. Go on.
I got them all over the place, haven't they? They're fantastic.
Yeah. So you're happy with that then?
Yeah, I'm always happy spending money in charity shops.
That's quite out of your remit. It's usually Douglas, isn't it?
Yeah, he's trying to be out of the wealth, isn't he?
Yeah.
Kate, do you think it's up there with his the pirate / musketeer / jug / mug?
No. Pirate mug is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Mm. Yeah. Nothing can compare, honestly.
No.
It's a bit Sinead O'Connor there for me, Jess. But there you go. Right, to quote sometime rapper Dizzy Rascal, fix up, look sharp, for it's time to look back at some of the news stories that have cauterised this week. Starting, Jess, with you, and it's a story about Heather Bridson from Peel.
Yes, so Julie Blackburn, one of our reporters, spoke to Heather Bridson. She is a mother of a one-year-old, and she has been told by the doctors that she has 5 years to live. She's been diagnosed with breast cancer. Now, Julie's written about the fact that she thinks medicinal cannabis should be legalised. Which is quite relevant to the times because a consultation has come out about medicinal cannabis, whether people think it should be legalised, and they've got some kind of remits for that.
Yeah, so this is the Department of Health over here are conducting this consultation at the moment. Mm-hmm. I think it's still the end of this month, the 20th of March or something. You can get your responses
right.
In. If you go to gov.im/cannabis, that /, again, Kate. I know you're like a big fan of the /, but yeah. So they're looking for public opinion, as you say, and Heather is very much.
She's pro medicinal cannabis. So the kind of questions that come up on this consultation is like age restrictions. I've actually gone out and spoken to the public as part of my Vox Pops, and we've asked people questions about this, and a lot of people say, you know, children who have epilepsy, they should be entitled to use it as long as it's prescribed by a professional. But that's all in the consultation if you want to have a look at that.
And we should just make clear, this is nothing to do with recreational use at this
point.
No,
it's not to get high.
But so that is a discussion for another day, as it were.
Yeah, that's it.
But this is all about medicinal use of cannabis.
There was also another side to the consultation. So there's kind of like part one, part two. One's looking at medicinal, one is looking at hemp.
Right.
And whether it should be grown here. So Julie again, wonderful Julie, on page 22, she's got the food and farming pages, and she spoke to farmer Bob Comish And he is the head of Manx Hemp Campaign.
Right.
And he wants industrial hemp to be legalised. So that way it can basically build on the economy in the Isle of Man. Hemp can be used for bedding for animals. It can be used for an alternative to plastics. Quite a few other things, clothing, you name it.
So there's the interview with Heather and more about the consultation in this week's Examiner, including Peel commissioners have come out in support of legalising medicinal cannabis.
Yeah, that's
which
I thought right. Was a like, what? Yeah, I went down to Peel commissioners, I think it was last week, and a couple of them were in favour of it, really. They said it's perfectly fine to have medicinal cannabis legalised. And they think that, well, some of them think that we should get ahead of the times. If we did, we'd be more ahead of the times than the UK.
And you mentioned the farming page, which we talked about last week in our Budgets and Bovine special, which is still available on all good podcast platforms and even some bad ones. The second set of farming features talks about the hemp production. And, of course, there's a tractor playlist.
Yes. Oh, guys, you need to get yourselves onto the tractor playlist. It's on Spotify. Mm-hmm. I'll find a way how we can link you guys to it, probably on our story on Instagram.
Yeah. And standout track this week, Jess, can you remember?
We've got some Calvin Klein Summer, but what I love...
Sorry.
Not Calvin Klein, no. I always get that wrong. My friends always take the mickey out of me.
Well-known DJ and boxer short.
Calvin Harris.
Calvin Harris?
Yeah.
Not Calvin.
Calvin. Oh, do I say that weird too? Yeah. Oh, sorry guys, sorry folks. But this time, she's actually done, she's picked songs that suit the seasons. So we've got autumn, summer.
She's got that Tom Walker, Leave a Light On for when she's going back to the house in the morning. Oh. Really, and it's dark out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like I should play the playlist at various times today then.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, so that's on our Spotify page. If you search at IOM Newspapers, is it?
Yep, so you can go at IOM Newspapers, you can look at our story, we'll have the link there, and you can give it a little follow.
Sam, time to talk about air pollution, and a story you wrote in the Examiner this week about the air pollution we're currently enjoying, currently suffer probably in the Isle of Man.
Yeah, well, it follows on from last week's Tim Wood and the Courier last week, that spilled over into this week, when we've had the Environment Minister, Geoffrey Boot. He said that it would cost the island 50 to 100,000 to monitor its air quality. And we actually have really good air quality besides... He listed Lord Street and Quarter Bridge. But we had a letter sent to us, as it was sent to Mr. Boot as well, from MHK's Bill Shimmons and Ralph Peake, and from MOC member Bill Henderson. And they wrote to say that they actually did air quality tests themselves with the basic check of saying how much would it cost and how efficient would it be. And they proved that Quarter Bridge actually is above EU limits, which is the opposite of what Mr. Boot said.
And one of the main points of the writing letter, they said they got it done for... How much it was?
They got it for about 100
quid. Yeah, not nowhere near
0.1%.
So they're saying that it can be done a lot cheaper than Geoffrey Boot.
Yeah, I think it's very vital. I mean, they said about, we benefit from the Tim Wood debate was a glorious moment because you had the Environment Minister quoting the National Anthem on Sweet Mountain Air. Mm. And it was just such a bizarre moment to sit through. I was covering Tim Wood last week. Mm. It was so weird to actually sit through that happening because nobody really knew how to respond to it.
Yeah.
And then you've had, from then on, you've had these members saying that, well, you were wrong on this figure, you're wrong on this figure, and you're wrong on saying that we're below the EU levels of what they deem as air, which isn't acceptable. The two main areas that are the Quarter Bridge and Lord Street, which he did identify, but I still think that if we're going to be looking at it and saying, well, we're about to build in Lord Street again, and think about Lord Street, it's a big tunnel, in essence, and it's going to get more like that when this new development gets built. So I think we should be doing this, really, because that is a public health issue.
So it's just to say that Geoffrey Boot and the department have said... We're monitoring every 2 years regularly, I think.
Yeah, we do 2 years.
And what we're finding is that we're below EU recommended levels.
Yeah.
We don't feel there's not been that mess in the past couple of tests we've done. There's not been that big a change in.
No, but actually, the interesting thing is the department said the air quality was improving.
Yeah.
Whereas they're showing that it isn't. It's actually got worse than what it was.
Right.
Which is, again, it's a really interesting little sort of argument, I suppose, you'd have this. Because these three members are all members of the Treasury as well. And the big argument he said was that the Treasury's wanting to spend this money. But you've got the three political members of the Treasury saying, we want to spend this money.
Yeah.
So it is... I don't think we've heard the end of this. I think it's going to rumble on.
The interesting point I picked up from that story, which was in the Examiner this week, was that Guernsey and Jersey make their daily pollution levels available online. It's almost part of their weather service, isn't it?
Yeah, they do it. I think it's I think I'd be fine with it. You think about it, we could do that sort of thing. You know, if we had it online, we could stick it in the weather as well. So it'd be what the pollution was like last week across the island, what was the high, what was the low.
Yeah, getting it out into public.
And Jess, Kate, you're both out and about walking to work or going for a run. How do you think pollution levels? Is it noticeable?
I do try to go out into the countryside a bit more. I don't think it's got a lot of
high... We don't need masks yet.
Yeah, not yet.
Kate, what do you... Obviously, you walk along Peel Road and I also walk into work. And you do actually.
You do notice a difference. Yeah, you definitely do between when you're walking around even a quiet estate and then when you get next to the main roads, like when you're coming down past.
Yeah, well, I suppose you can smell it, and so you're thinking, oh, what am I breathing in?
To be fair, the one thing in with Mr. Beattie was completely right about it is he said about, he gave Glasgow as the example. I know I stayed down by London, by Westminster, about a month or so now, and you can, as you're walking about, even at night when it's like the streets are pretty empty, you can still feel it and you can taste it in the air. He's got a point there that the island is a lot better. I just think that... Why should we not seek to always get that bit better and improve ourselves?
It's a good point. And I think Mr. B also said that hopefully we migrate more to electrical cars, and there's all sorts of, they're trying to encourage people to ride and cycle to work and walk to work, that the pollution levels will generally drop anyway.
Do you guys remember that news story about some people trying to sell Manx air to different countries, China or somewhere?
Well, that was the one of Tom Jones when he was in California, used to ship Welsh aero. But I mean, this is what I think is going to be interesting as well going forward, is that we're looking at expanding the cruise market on the island, the cruise ships. So the cruise ships are one of the most polluting.
Really?
Because they sit there all day with the engines on to keep the whole boat running. So if we're going to look towards that, we've not only disrupted the marine life potentially, but also we are going to have this extra, pollutant going around. You know, again, without criticising, because it is a necessity. You see it with the Ben McCree, the smoke when it gets going sort of thing before it gets the engines running fully. I don't really see why we wouldn't be doing this to say we need to keep a long-term check on the island's air quality.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Sam, there are not many world championships held in Dalby, are there?
But I can't think of another one.
But the most prestigious took place over the weekend, didn't it?
Oh, it did. The World Bonnag Championships.
Jess, do you know what Bonnag is?
I do, but I've never had a slice of Bonnag.
I have to admit, I don't know what Bonnag is.
Jess, go on in. For the uneducated, what is a bit of Bonnag?
It looks like a massive scone, I think, or scone, however you want to
put it. Like a scone,
Yeah.
Like a Manx scone?
Yeah, but it's probably like the size of a dinner plate.
It is pretty big.
For
those of you uneducated in the way of the Bonnag, there is tons of pictures in this week's Independent, isn't there, Sam?
There is. On page 14 of the Independent, we've got a spread there. And do you know who the winner was?
I do know, but I think I'll give you a little drum roll, and you can reveal.
8-time TT champion, Dan Sale.
Dan Sale, sidecar legend. So turns out he's a bit
biker
of a...
Bakes best Bonnag.
Nice alliteration.
Yeah.
Easy for you to say. Yeah, so he was crowned men's champion, women's champion.
Elizabeth Clegg.
And of course there was a child as well.
Did you see what the entertainment was?
I did see. There was a skit of Dan's crash in the Classic TT last year, which I thought he was involved, and fair play, because it was a very serious accident at the time. He spent several weeks in hospital after the incident. But fair play. Involved him putting two spoons on his eyes. I saw that. It was a bit Wallace and Gromit.
My personal favourite was because when we first got the pictures, we didn't know what had happened, what was going on. So we looked at it and we just went, why is there a man blowing flour through a tube?
Yes.
And then we rang up and said, oh, that's the smoke from Dan's crash.
Yes, yeah.
The one picture I thought was really funny was a man holding a banana and a woman was looking, it was unpeeled, and a woman was looking at it really horrified. But it turns out it was a magic trick where he managed to make a £5 note or something.
I think it was a £20 note.
Was it a £20 note? Inside the banana.
Yeah.
And then he peeled it and the money was there.
Yeah, it was there.
Literally all happens at the Bonnag World Championships. if you want to find out more, there's tons of pictures in the Independent this week. Find out who Judge Tony Quirk commended and who got the main prizes. But as I say, there's tons of pictures.
I'm entering next year.
You're going to enter,
Sam? I think you should.
Because I've had advice off Mike Wade, who's he does Island Life for people who don't know Mike. And he
among
said,
many other things.
Among many other things he does. He's also a pizza man and he's fantastic.
Sometime photographer.
But he gave me the most terrifying advice I've ever received. which was just don't put egg in it.
Right. Okay.
Yes. It's not Bonnag if it's got egg in it.
You wrote a piece about it, so I was like, oh, that's...
Did you see, just before we move on from this, did you see the tweet from Dan Sale?
Yes. So he put one up on his Twitter, and then we put out a photo saying, we expect that more people will come around to yours for a cuppa and a slice of Bonnag now. And he said... No, I'm just going to keep it to my family because, well, the secret's out. Got to keep it insular.
Apparently, he's had a passion for bacon for several years now, but now the secret's out. I think it's from
right,
Jess, maybe a slice of Bonnag and a trip to Dalby would form part of your perfect weekend in the Isle of Man, because Roger Smith has been the famous watchmaker. Has been having a say about what his perfect weekend in the Isle of Man would be, hasn't he?
Yeah. So, Financial Times, which is a
another newspaper. Some people occasionally read it. Yeah.
They asked Roger Smith, OBE, what his perfect weekend would be in the Isle of Man, and so he mentioned quite a few places. One of them I've actually not been to yet is Ayres Nature Reserve.
Ayres Nature Reserve.
I have no idea where that is.
Do you know where the Point of Ayres is?
Point of Ayres. I'm guessing it's there, but I don't know where it is. So he mentioned Noah Bakehouse and Fonoddery, all sorts of things. So if you want to read more about what places and what food items he named, you can do that on...
He was quite food-based.
Yeah, a lot of food-based stuff there.
I can see, you know, logic in
We've got some good stuff here, don't we?
But when's that going to actually appear? So
it's already in. It's page 13 in The Examiner.
And has it been in the FT yet, or is that...
Yeah, so it's already out. I think they published it last weekend. Okay. So, yeah, definitely.
It's well worth the read.
Yeah, definitely. But I was wondering if you guys could kind of imagine your perfect weekend here in the Isle of Man. What would that entail?
I had a really nice weekend when the three of us were here. You weren't here, Andy. We took the train down to Castletown. So we went to Little Fish for brunch and we drank Prosecco on the train, and then we sat outside the castle drinking Prosecco in the street, and we went to Port Erin. It was a lovely Saturday.
It was really nice.
A really great Saturday.
It's only the Prosecco that stops that being a tragic tale.
Sam, was that your perfect weekend?
I was just thinking as you said that then. I think for me it'd be like having breakfast somewhere in town.
The calf? The buttery?
I love the calf. I've got a loyalty card.
Stay true to it.
Yeah, and then I'd go... probably I'd like to go along the promenade on a horse tram, because I haven't been on the horse tram for years.
See, I would do that, but I'm allergic to horses. I'd be an absolute mess by the time we got to the Villa Marina.
Would your allergies kind of start even if you're on the carriage?
Why were you stroking your face for that?
I just drank some water.
Because if you think about it, it's being pushed back towards you in the wind, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose.
I'd be an absolute mess. Even when I go up to Eclipse, you know, where they're the wintered, you know, the horses. I can't get anywhere near them. Yeah.
That's strong, then.
But they're big horsey fellas, aren't they?
Big horsey fellas.
So, yeah, but go on then. So you'd be going
I think I'd like to go up Snaith Fell, because I've been up for a while. So I was thinking I'd go up on the tram to Laxey and get the
Ian Longworth would be flipping loving this weekend.
I know, he would be. Well, I'm
he could probably do the whole thing for you.
I wouldn't say I'm an anorak, but I've got one.
An appreciation of it.
Because they are just a remarkable sort of feat of engineering, and it is really cool. So, and you can get a really good lunch up there as well.
Right, okay.
What about you?
I think I'd have to go to the Woody at some point. I do love it in there. I like the Vaults Bar. It's nice. Yeah. So it's almost like a warm blanket, the Woody. When you get in there,
relax.
Rest of the day, I don't know. That would just be the peak.
Yeah.
I should probably spend some time with my wife and child, but no, I think I mentioned them at some point, but Hugo's not old enough to get in the Woody yet, so...
Well, if you were to take them out somewhere, what would you do? What about an activity?
Well, there's a park opposite the Woody. Probably throw a ball over the road. Yeah. I don't know. Honestly, I saw this question when we were looking what we were deciding what we're going to do on today's podcast, and all I could think about was the Woody, which is probably about as sad and dark moment of my life. But there you go.
Nah, it isn't
you need
nice.
A little violin playing.
No. They'd have the telly on.
I think mine would probably end up in the Rovers.
Or even obviously in a couple of next month, isn't it? April that the beer festival's on.
That's a good shout.
That's a pretty good weekend in itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't know. I'm painting a really quite a bleak portrait of my life, which is probably not fair. Right, moving on. Sports story of the week involves someone that's featured heavily already in the sports stories, and that's Joe Reed, 800-metre runner. He is in the European Athletics Indoor Championships this weekend, starting on Friday night. He will be live, not almost live, actually live, on BBC Two.
Oh, wow.
BBC's
news.
Second best channel.
Yeah.
7:48 is the first heat he runs in the 800 metres with the creme de la creme of European runners. It's live from Glasgow and the Emirates Arena, where the Chris Hoy Velodrome and all that jazz is, opposite Celtic's, what's Celtic's ground called these days?
Celtic Park, of course.
Opposite there. I would thoroughly recommend you all tune in and watch him run his little heart out. 7:48. I reminded him, I was speaking to him this week to get some quotes for this week's Manx Independent, and reminded him of a time when he used to play. I told you a couple of weeks ago he used to play seven aside with me on a Wednesday, and he was better as a 14-year-old than I am as a considerably older year old.
Why 7:48? It's like the time of Greyhound race goes off or something.
I think it's European, so you know they're very punctual.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
7:48, around then. Maybe tune in at 7:46 in case they're running a bit early. You don't want to miss it because it's only 800 metres. It's only two laps. You'll be done in a couple of minutes.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, so 7:48. It's also, if those of you who love streaming, it's live on the BBC website. And I'm sure me and Dave will be throwing out some tweets just to keep you involved in the loop.
What is that? Like, what's your tagline then for?
At IOM Sports Desk. We're not reinventing the wheel with that one, Jess. Well, it's the same for all our social media.
Just in case people want to follow you now.
Yes. I should also point out there's 13 pages of sport in this week's Manx Independent.
That's a lot.
Well, I know you guys think me and Watty and Dave just sit there in the corner making the place look good, but we actually...
We never think that.
We had 13 pages. There's every manner of sports covered in this week's Manx Independent. Name a sport, Sam.
Downhill skiing.
It's not in this week. Jess, name a sport.
Oh...
It's not
dodgeball.
Not in this week's Manx Independent. Katie, name a sport.
Javelin.
Not in this week's Manx Independent. But all the other sports are in there. So please do go and buy a copy for £1 in the newsagents. Right, this week in history, Sam, we go back not too far. I was alive when this happened. I was a heady 7 years old at this point, probably terrorising Williston Primary School. March 1st, 1991, we have the front page of the Courier from that week. Not as many stories as we've been dealing with in 1957, but there are some crackers nonetheless, aren't there?
Yeah, absolutely. We have gone, as you said, back to March 91, where they were planning on 2,000 visitors a week plan, which was apparently in the balance.
Yeah, so it does say in the first line, an ambitious plan to bring over 2,000 holidaymakers a week to the Isle of Man from July 5th to September 3rd.
Yeah, it's quite. They had a plan for an 8-week sort of season from July 5th running through, and it would be. They had plans to have concerts with the.
Phenomenal concerts.
I'll give you that phenomenal, because I was really excited to see the Dubliners on that list.
Yes, yeah. So there was. It's a very, I would say, Irish.
Oh,
heavy.
I've just seen who's folded over there. That's
Al Dunagan.
That's Daniel O'Donnell.
Yes.
They wanted to bring. That's awesome.
Housewife's favourite. But it's very Irish heavy. I would say. So we've got Dolan, the Dubblers, the Farley Brothers, Davy Arthur, Paddy Riley, the Philomena Begley, Dickie Rock, a personal favourite of mine.
Yeah.
Something Valdunican, so I think it might be a Valdunican cover act, and the American Drifters, and something...
Wolf Tones.
So they were all... The plan was to get them over, and that would stimulate 2,000 holidaymakers a week coming over. I think we can safely say that didn't happen.
Maybe.
I doubt it. I mean, so this was apparently an offer that was going, if we didn't accept it, it was going to be offered to Blackpool, which it's good to know where we stand.
Yeah.
But, it's a remarkable little story. I mean, 2,000 visitors a week, it'll be remarkable. I don't think we'd cope with it now.
It'd be
fantastic if we could get it.
We'd have to, what was it, 30 grand a week in fees. To get 22,000 back. So I suppose it would have been worth it, but... As I say, I don't think it actually happened. I don't even know if Blackpool took up the option. So that should probably show you.
I'm sure some fans of the Dubliners or Daniel O'Donnell will be able to tell us.
Yes, so please do tweet or Instagram. If you've got any pictures of you with a Dubliner or Daniel O'Donnell,
maybe Danny Douglas. Dubliner.
Send it our way.
Yeah, in Douglas or Blackpool, please do send that our way. They weren't the only pop stars to feature on the front page that week, Katie. Did you see this?
I did. Very exciting.
Go on and reveal who were living at large in Balasala that week.
Teen pop idols Bros.
Matt and Luke. Now, have you seen the documentary?
I haven't seen it.
Have you seen it, Katie?
Okay, Jess?
I was just throwing it. Jess, have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Sam, have you seen the Bros documentary on BBC Three?
No. I know they're having like a...
I would thoroughly recommend you watch
Resurgence, because I saw them on the Brit Awards the other week.
It's almost a mockumentary, but it's not. So I would say if you can look...
Are we with them?
A bit of column A, a large column of column B.
Okay.
But if after you've listened to this week's podcast, obviously, I would go onto your streaming device and have a search for that on BBC 3, because of the Bros. But yes, let's go back to 91. They were here. And they were in the Academy nightclub in Ballasalla.
I never knew there was or had been a nightclub in Ballasalla.
I didn't.
Apparently they were shooting a video for one of their forthcoming singles. So maybe we could have a delve into YouTube later and see if we can find that.
Skeet. Yeah, see if we can spot the sights of Ballasalla and their music video.
Yeah. So, I asked our editor, Richard Butt, where this nightclub was, and he said it was behind Russian Abbey.
Yeah, right, okay. Mm.
Sounds like he was a bit of a fan back in the day.
Well, apparently, it was brought to a standstill because there was enthusiastic fans besieging them for autographs.
Was that Richard?
Wow. It might have been.
Who knew Richard Butt was a Bros fan? There you go. Changing the pace slightly, did you see the story about the denim producers who were going to lose their jobs?
Well, yeah, it was the Department of Industries waiting on an official notification that 20 to 30 casual clothing factory in Ramsey could have closed. So Glen Air Limited, is that one, to be honest with you, I don't remember.
Manufactures denim clothes and is believed to be in the process of closing down, so 20 to 30 jobs were at risk. A spokesman for the department said, I believe closure is imminent. We would try and direct any redundant persons towards the vacancies in the island. A spokesman at Glen Air said he was unable to comment. There you go. But yes, yeah, so the Ramsey was at the pinnacle of the...
Denim industry
for a short spell, by the sounds of it.
I've just read the giant dog story.
Go on then, this is awesome. The giant dog story.
The giant, in caps, Dulux dog cuddly toy, which was the star prize at last week's end bring and buy sale to raise funds to the Brook Animal Hospital in Cairo, was won by Naomi Rodwell of Summer Hill, who was seven. She was seven that day, which means she would be...
She's your age!
Yeah, I went to secondary school with Naomi.
Did you remember the giant dog?
She didn't bring the dog, funnily enough, by the time she was 11. So that's only 4 years later, the dog didn't make an appearance.
Do you know, we should get on to see if the dog is still going.
Naomi Rothwell. I think she might be right. Right, let's see if we can track her down. If you know Naomi, in a non-stalkerish type of way, if you know Naomi Rothwell, please get her to get in touch with a picture of her Dulux dog.
We have to say I want to know what she named it.
Yeah,
doesn't it say?
No.
I thought it says... Oh no! I thought it said Buddy, but it says budding, because she's a budding animal enthusiast.
Yes.
And with this says it was her seventh birthday today, which is Friday. So happy birthday for tomorrow!
I just also
That's so weird.
We've got a bit bored of birthdays there, haven't we? Yeah.
That's fantastic. Happy birthday!
That is the Friday.
Yes, that's fine. Yes.
I'm just wondering when this is coming out.
I have to also say it was quite weird that the paper described it as a Dulux dog. Would you not just say an old English sheepdog? Which is
the... I wouldn't know by that. I'd know by the Dulux dog.
Yeah, I would know by the Dulux dog.
Shows you the power of advertising, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, moving on swiftly. Jess, you have an update from Burundi for us.
Burundi, yes, I do. So we recently on our podcast talked about Harry Owen, who is a bee-loving legend. Who has gone over to
a bee-loving legend, legendary octogenarian.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, that's a title, isn't it? So he has gone over for a 3-week mission to help hundreds with their kind of beekeeping skills and training them to carry out quality beekeeping practices. Mm-hmm. So far, he has arrived. He's there. He's well. He's safe. He has... been talking to people about the current situation with the bees and the challenges that beekeepers are facing. What those are, we're yet to find out. He has immersed himself into the culture. There is a brilliant video of him on Christian Aid Isle of Man Facebook page of him playing some traditional drums, and it is amazing. You have to watch it.
Right.
He's also had a few church trips, and he's done some hippo spotting, apparently, which is all quite nice. And then on the 25th, he met the bees for the first time.
So he's been there 4 days before he met the bees. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Well, he's...
Sorry, Jess, he's gone on...
He's met the beekeepers. He's just met the bees on the 25th.
But the beekeepers not have bees?
Yeah, well, but...
Do you carry... You're a sports journalist, you don't carry Dave around with you.
But he's not... So what is it? What I'm saying to you is, if he's teaching people about bees, surely the bees need to be there.
Yes, but... Not necessarily.
But you've got to construct the hives, haven't you? So you've got to teach them how to construct the hives before you put the new bees in.
But then the bees don't just go, there's a hive.
We'll get to this later. We'll find out when he gets back to the island. We'll be able to ask him these questions. But he met the bees and he's done some training with them.
With the bees.
They're going to
come back in 4 days. I'm a bit busy. I'm acclimatising.
They're going to start a little bee circus.
So he...
Make some extra money on the side.
When he was there, he realised that there's a lot of stuff to go over and there's a long way...
Like, find the bees?
There's a long way to go to have quality beekeeping skills. He's done training already with 50 beekeepers, which are men...
No bees, though.
...and women. Not bees. So traditionally, beekeeping was... It excluded women and younger people.
And
so
bees.
Can you stop? I'm trying to be serious here. So now the women are being trained, which is great because this is more inclusive. And they're going to be ready to learn how to increase their yields and the quality of the honey and the bees' lives. Yeah.
Well, I look forward to Harry's return. And his
I think you're going to be there at Ronald's way.
I will be
there.
He gets
off the plane.
Was tragic.
So when's he back, Jess?
He's back on March the 11th.
Oh, that we'll wait with bated breath to see how many bees he meets during this next period.
If you can't wait, you can always have a look on Christian Aid Isle of Man Facebook page.
Okay.
And there's also an art exhibition about it in Peel Cathedral, apparently.
Right, I have so many questions.
The bees.
Yeah, I think it's about the bees.
Or about Harry.
I don't think it's specifically about Harry.
So there's an art exhibition in Peel about bees from Burundi.
Or is it our famous Manx bees that are disease-free?
Do you know what? I'm not sure. I've not been. So
right.
There's an art exhibition. They said they've got it there through the duration of his trip. So it's got to have a connection.
We need to go.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Little trip out.
So that's in Peel Cathedral?
Yes.
Right. And it's open all the time?
I think so.
Right. Well, I am baffled. But talking of baffling, Katie, it's time for the Manx Word of the Week. I don't know how you're going to top this, about a story about a beekeeper with no bees, but let's keep going.
Okay, so last week's word, we had Aaron, which is bread,
mm-hmm.
and roll yarn, which is bread roll.
Bread roll.
Yep.
Love a bread roll.
Because that connects with our flour controversy.
What's
on
your
the 1957
type
paper.
Of bread?
Tiger bread.
Tiger bread.
I don't like tiger bread. I'd say.
Do you like
I don't get it because it's so
kill
popular.
Kill me where I stand.
Remember when, but before Subway was a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, again, you're all too young. The sub rolls were a thing. They were like a half baguette with slightly floury. Oh, that was the dream back in the day. You go at Marx's, get one of them.
No, I'd say that. Like Tesco and Marks Spencer's have really good cheesy ones.
Like a cheesy bread. That's similar to a bread.
That's
tiger
basically
tiger bread.
Bread.
No, it's not.
It is.
It does have cheese.
There's this bread called Cheepa, which is like a little kind of bread ball with like cheesy taste to it.
Cheese always wins, doesn't it? But do you call it a bread roll or would you call it like...
Yeah.
Some
people call it like a cob or something.
Oh, I lived in Nottingham for 4 years. Don't go down that route. You'll never get out of that argument.
Okay.
Cobs, baps, rolls, they're all...
Bombs.
Bomb cakes.
Bomb cakes, yeah, what are they?
Chip bomb. Oh, I love it. Right, we've gone off topic spectacularly as always. But yes, so this week's word in Manx...
Panag.
Panag, which
panag.
Sounds a bit like bread in French.
Pan, yeah.
Panag chocolate.
But this word is actually, it connects to something...
Other than bread.
Than bread, but something that's happening next week. So I'm being topical.
Right, hit me with your panag stick.
Panag. What
Sam,
Harry?
Let's hear the Germanic version.
You got panag in the brain.
Panag. Stop talking over Sam.
Sorry.
Go on.
That's very rude. Panag.
Panag. Panag also sounds like something you could have in a Thai restaurant. I'll have some panag noodles with... Something along those lines. Right, now we're going to hear about culture of Annan do it and how they do it properly.
Panag.
I think we're all quite close there, but we'll leave that to the listener to decide. It's been an interesting week for many reasons. We've discussed, covered a lot of ground today, I feel, Jess.
Yeah.
If people want to get in touch with us throughout the week, how can they do that?
Well, you can find us on at IOM News Podcast on Instagram or Twitter.
Katie, if they've been interested and want to read any more of the stories and they can't get to a newsagent for various reasons, can they can go online and get a digital edition?
Yep, they can access digital editions of all of our publications on www.iomtoday.co.im and just clicking on digital editions.
Sam, if they want to write you a letter, how could they do that?
They can send me a letter at IOM Newspapers, European House, Peel Road, Douglas.
Maybe we're looking for suggestions for Sam's next challenge. So if you've got a postcard handy, send one in with that one. Yeah, because you've milked the cow now, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been cowing.
I've been cowing. That's what all the kids are calling it these days.
Yep, so let's see what we can think of. And besides, I mean, I've got a whole year for my Bono Championships.
There you go.
So let's see.
Jess, anything interesting to look forward to next week?
Yeah, so I'm going to be writing a piece about beach buddies, how they're going to be filling a southern swimming pool with clean bits of plastic. It's part of an awareness scheme to...
Oh, wait.
It has a purpose. So people will be able to swim through that and they'll be able to raise money towards...
Swim through it?
Yeah.
Ooh. Jess is going down to do
that. Going down to do that.
And that sounds like something Jess should do, really.
No.
I can't swim. You've got to go.
Katie, anything interesting happening in distribution this week?
It's always interesting in distribution. Mm. We've got a feature coming out soon called Woman, which is celebrating...
Women on the Isle of Man?
Yeah, a lot of awesome women on the Isle of Man.
That's including one of our very own, but that will be hush-hush until...
Yes, so that's coming out in a few weeks' time, is it?
No.
In next week's examiner?
Yeah, it's next week's
So that's coming out
examiner.
In next week's examiner?
Not a few weeks' time. Next week.
Next Tuesday.
Ooh,
that's in a tight... shops on Tuesday.
It'll be in shops on Tuesday. Sam, what's on your plate?
And on IOM Today.
And on IOM Today.
Do you know what, actually, for once, I'm not going to plug something I'm doing. I'm really excited about something that Adrian Darbish is writing.
Okay.
Which is his 2.5-year review. We are halfway through the Quayle administration.
Oh. Is it like a half-term report?
It is pretty much, yes.
Is he going to give them grades or numbers?
Ooh, I'll have to ask him.
Oh, that would be amazing.
But we are doing, I mean, you think about what's happened in that time. We've had Paradise Papers, we've bought the steam packet.
The abortion bill.
The abortion, well, that's a private members, well, it's not government business. Okay. We've got the promenade underway, which, let's face it, we've been talking about since... back before we were even a little twinkle in the eye.
Yeah.
Even you. But yep. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to this. Adrian has done this and it's going to be in the examiner.
Well, I will definitely read that. I'm sure we'll pick up on that next week. Maybe we could interview Adrian about it next week in the podcast.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, good idea.
Okay. Right, until then.
Bye for now.